So we're here on Brighton's Royal Mile New Road on the first fringe city, and I bumped into Lorraine Mullaney.
Yes.
And this is a play directed by Sue Gilroy, and it's The Cunning Mr. Lingus, which is a very kind of, you know, evocative title. It's playing at the Rialto, and it's going to be back at the end of May, so you'll be able to catch it then. If you can't catch it, I think it's playing tomorrow as well, is it? Or
no, today at 3 o'clock, and then from the 22nd to the 25th. Yeah. At 4 p.m. at the Rialto.
So you've still got time to catch it. So tell us about, first, the creation of it. You know, when did this piece get invented?
Last year, I was doing a show called Sex in Shorts, which was six short plays all about love and relationships. And I wanted a character for a monologue. So I thought about a middle-aged Don Juan, because we always see young Don Juans. And I was thinking about, you know, what happens to love when you reach a certain age. And I created this character called Martin Lingus, who is, he loves more mature ladies, mainly because they have nice houses and he hasn't got anywhere to live. So he's looking for a lady with a nice house. And he's kind of obsessed with period features. And it was a very popular monologue last year. It got really good reviews and the show was nominated for an award. So I decided to develop it further. So this year I've brought in his girlfriends. So we sort of see him interacting with three of the women in his life.
So that's a good reason to write short-form drama and to put it out there and see which fish get caught by the reviewers and the critics and the audiences.
Yeah, exactly, and see which one works on stage, because yeah, it's a lot easier to write a 10-minute piece. And then the character seemed to sort of grab everyone's attention. So I thought, yeah, I want to develop this character, but how about the women? So rather than him talking about the women, we see them. So we see, we hear the women's point of view, but we also see what Martin has to say about them and how different that is.
Yeah. Some people say it's hard to write short drama.
The monologues are easier. The plays are more difficult. It's quite hard to develop a character in a play when you have several characters. Two-handers are easier. Because of the plays I wrote last year, the three-hander worked the least well, because I was trying to cram too much into 10 minutes. But the monologues are quite, you get quite a good snapshot of a character in 10 minutes in a monologue.
Apart from the character, I mean, what has survived from the original monologue? Are there any lines that have made it into the full script this year?
Yeah, a lot of the jokes about his obsession with period features have survived from last year.
Yeah. And in terms of the feedback along the way, have you worked with a dramaturg? I mean, how have you honed it?
I sort of developed the character myself, and then Gary Freer, the actor who plays him, I've obviously run it past him, and then he's you know, sometimes said it would work better for him if I break the copy down more, you know, sort of not longer sentences, sort of break it down into sections. So that's kind of what I've learned from working with the actor, but I haven't really worked with a dramaturg.
Now, I've been walking along here even this morning, and it's already come up a couple of times that, usually in humorous forms, that some actors wishing the writer had just given it away and gone, and others really glad that the writer's in the room. You know, what's your involvement with the direction and the piece, and is it important at some point to let it go?
Yes, it is, and it can be very difficult to let it go as well, because when you write something, you're on your own and you're imagining it in your head, and then you see someone performing it and it's not necessarily as you imagined in your head, which isn't always a bad thing. That can be good and it can be bad. Your vision may be different. It might just be different, doesn't make it better.
But what was going on? Were you sitting next to the director? Were you lurking at the back? You know, what was your role in that process?
I went to the first rehearsal so the actors could ask me any questions about the characters, about the script and the motivation, and then I sort of let them get on with it, really. Because it can be quite a painful process sitting through rehearsal.
So you haven't been back in at all?
I've been in and out. I was in at the beginning, and then sort of midway I came in again where there were more questions, and then I came in at the end. So I sort of gave them space.
And of course actors will reveal stuff that you hadn't thought of.
Yes, they will, and they'll give their take on the character.
Yeah.
But sometimes that they want to do things for the hell of it, and it doesn't actually, it might interfere with the structure of the piece. So, yeah, it's a compromise, really. I think the bottom line for me is it's about the show, what's best for the show. Yeah. It's not about egos. It's very hard for it not to be about egos.
Yeah.
We've all got them. But, yeah, so it's about trying to think what's best for the show. Let's make the show the best it can possibly be.
Now, the Rialto is a very flexible space. You can have an end-on performance or you can go into immersive. How have you staged this?
Well, the Gary likes to interact with the audience. He likes to engage with the audience. So there is a little bit of audience interaction in there, but there is a script and there is a very tight structure that is the framework of it, really. So we don't sort of go off script that much.
Right. And in terms of script, is that kind of now neatly typed, you know, ready for, you know, being published, or is it loads of notes still? Is it going to get changed, or is it absolutely now cast in stone?
I definitely would want to change it again, yeah. I mean, I think this piece could go in a lot of different directions as well. You could do it without the humour and make it really dark. If you take the comedy out, it would be seriously dark. And I'd quite like to play with doing like a really dark version of it as well.
What does your desk look like?
It's a mess. There's notes everywhere, post-its, crap all over the floor. Yeah, my flat has been a mess this past few weeks working on the play.
But already that reveals that you're a person with a pen and paper.
Yes, definitely, yeah.
Do you ever write into a laptop, or have you always written by hand?
I make notes by hand, and then I type it up on the laptop. But I'm always changing it, and I'm always open to developing a script further. This definitely isn't finished, this script, I think. You know, and seeing it performed, you get more and more ideas of what to do with it.
Has this seeded a new idea, or have you got other ideas on the go separate from this?
I've got a whole queue of ideas, and I have to work as well. I've got three other plays that I'm developing. One is at second draft. It's going to be on in London in October. And then sort of two others that are in idea stage, and I'm making notes.
And where does your working life sit with this creative life?
Well, I am a writer, but I write courses, online learning courses. So it is I have been a writer for the past 20 years, but, you know, writing for the corporate world. So there is a link.
Yeah. And so final question then. If I kind of went forward in time 5 years, what would I see?
Well, I hope that you will see my plays actually on in the theatres in London, hopefully.
Yeah, so
that's ambition. The dream. Yes, definitely.
So this is The Cunning Mr. Lingus at the Rialto Theatre, coming back towards the end of May. And it's written by Lorraine Mullaney, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you.